So two of the groups that are getting significantly impacted by this, you know, this whole Corona COVID-19 crisis are the teachers and students. Teachers are doing their courses from home and the students are doing their best to do what they can from home too. But to what degree and how effective is that, we don't know. So on the podcast today, we have Anne Nguyen, a teacher at the Westminster Kingsway College. Now, that's one of the largest colleges in London, and also a very good friend of mine. So thank you, Anne, for doing this.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, you're no stranger to this. You've been a podcast host many times. It just so happens, you know, not only are you a teacher, but you're also heavily involved now in trying to help the faculty go from teaching in the classrooms to teaching online.
Yep.
Can you go back to the beginning and just explain for everyone who has no idea what's really been going on in the education system, a bit of a timeline? You know, when did you first get updated by your college that, you know, this whole COVID-19 could be a concern, and to the moment when they said, you know, you're going to be working from home and the preparations for that?
Yeah, so about a week, just over a week before the college decided to close. Obviously, we didn't have any official date of closure from the government or anything. It was just speculation at one point that if we were to close, and this is a very short notice, I mean, it all happened so fast. If we were to close, what platforms are we going to have online ready for students to be able to continue some sort of education and getting staff prepared for that? Because not all staff are ready. Some, and as with all things, you know, people at different stages, different levels of technical ability and their ability to deliver online. So that was the first thing. We had to do a big rush to almost like an emergency plan prior, but the college was really good in that respect, that they had the foresight to say, well, if this is going to happen, and this was before any announcement, they decided I was part of a team of four that was leading on online delivery. So we went down Microsoft Teams route, and we did what we could in the limited, bearing in mind there's, I think, 20,000 students in the college and different campuses. So there's quite a lot of staff that needed to be prepared in a short space of time. So we did our best under the circumstances to prepare staff. So the time frame, about a week maybe before the college announced, and then a few days. So students on the Wednesday, we were still working till Friday, but students by lunchtime Wednesday, I think 2 weeks ago, they were told, you know, that's it, no more classes, and all lessons will take place online.
What was told to the students as far as, hey, you're going to have to go from home? But because I remember, you know, back in college, you know, you began at, you know, 8:30, and it was every hour there was something accounted for. You had your rest periods and, you know, whatever, but it was pretty jam-packed. So was the message that they would go do the same agenda from home?
Yeah, I mean, that varied from sort of class to class as well. You know, some were set work that they had to complete. Some had online lessons full on, like almost like what we're having here with a screen share, so that we could continue.
With 20-something students?
With 20-something students, yeah. So I'll talk through a bit of the technical details, how that's done. But it actually worked very well, actually. Of course, with some limitations. But so I mean, in terms of how they react, I'm sure as some would look at it as a, you know, an early Easter, early summer holiday. But there were a lot of very concerned students, especially those taking their A-levels, because for the first time, we've had to cancel exams. So unprecedented that all A-levels and GCSEs are cancelled now. Massive implications. So we still haven't got...
Oh, they're not going ahead. They're not going to say, look, do it from home or...
Yeah,
no.
Well, they're not going to do it from... They're now going to go by teacher-predicted grade. And this final term is actually very... So for the A-level, for the second-year students in particular, this final term is a very important term. And it happened just as we were entering a very important phase in the revision period and, you know, putting everything together, all the ideas coming together. And then so we have this news that the exams will not take place. Students will not be disadvantaged. So the regulatory body, Ofqual, they've said that they're not expected, actually, even though our college has decided to have ongoing online lessons. So I think qualification is separate from education. You know, there's a yes, you go to college to get an education, but also at the end of it with a view for their qualification. But I think it's important that we continue their learning as far as possible. But
so just a quick question. So doing this online stuff from home, was that mandatory or was that something that the Kingsway Westminster College was implementing?
Yeah, I think
what was the norm? What did the government enforce? And
again, unprecedented. There was no blueprint for any of this.
Right.
So like anything, there is no, you know, I mean, it's not like they're making it up as they go along, but they have to decide under the circumstances. They have to weigh a lot to weigh up, basically. So, we decided as a faculty, so you know, again, the college is different, split up into different departments. Our college has got students that, let's say, a catering school. We're quite famous for our catering school, and that's very hands-on. So how much practice can you put into that? Or, you know, people doing construction work, and they have to work with plastering. You know, that's inevitably, that would really affect what they're doing. But so the A-level department, for example, there's a lot that can be done online, but for fairness, they said that students won't be disadvantaged in the whatever work we set them now won't disadvantage them. You know, it's up to the point where the college closed. That is the point where we have to use everything they've done up to that point, middle of March, to decide what their predicted grades are, and we're going to get.
So they will actually be given a grade.
They'll be given a grade. They'll be given a qualification
at the same time that they would usually have gotten a grade.
Yeah, exactly.
But this time it's based on up to what they had achieved. To that point.
And this is public knowledge, so so I can disclose this much, which is that we have to rank the students, which is a tough one, right? You rank them, you then give them
a rank.
Okay. This is all online. So this .gov.uk. So this is all public knowledge. I'm not disclosing anything here that I'm not allowed to. So students are to be ranked. Students are to be given a predicted grade from the teacher based on their work up to the point that the college was closed. We are not to disclose our predicted grades until the final grade is released. So they will look into a number of factors, I'm sure, you know, and they will try to make it as fair as possible. How are they going to do that? It's a tough job. I mean, they've given themselves to give the teachers guidance. So they've released a statement to students and staff and colleges and schools. But for clearer guidance, they've got another month. They've given till at latest the 29th of May. That's their deadline for teachers to get even further guidance. But at the moment, they've released a statement to say that. But yeah, as far as A-levels and GCSEs are concerned, no more. Scrapped. And that's never happened.
So the whole idea of mock exams not really meaning anything, you know, that kind of like, because I remember, you know, myself, maths, mock exams, not really bothered. But then giving it my all in the real exam and smashing it. You know, so what if you're in that category
and
where...
that's a tricky one as well. Exactly. That's something to consider that, you know, sometimes people in the final months really put it together and
hire a tutor. Yeah. They, you know, they understand that this final exam, regardless of your mock exam, if your mock exam, you got a D, but in the actual real exam, you get an A star.
You could turn it around.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
So there's a lot of things that are so tricky to... And actually, I would say that to get an accurate picture, you know, I mean, this is not... I'm, you know, it's way above my pay grade, as I keep saying. This is a government decision, Minister for Education and you know, Department for Education, etc., to make these decisions. This is a massive, massive decision, and they're asking for a bit more time to give us further guidance. Yeah. But you know, they'd like to make it. If I'm to speculate, it would be so difficult. It's a, you know, you'd hate to be in their position now, if you are the Minister for Education, to really decide to have to make the decision that A levels and GCSE exams will be scrapped for this academic year. Mm-hmm. And then to decide how do we...
Even at the university level as well, level.
At university, period, so yeah. Universities, yeah, there are implications for that, so their exams are scrapped.
Imagine a massive dissertation that you're doing, that you're working for on, you know...
Universities, because they've got their own system, so they've got a 24-hour online assessment. That's a separate sort of... One of the universities got that. But as far as a national qualifications concerns, you know, to decide on how to make this as fair as possible. And that's a really, really challenging task. Because I don't know. I mean, it's because on the day, as much as accurate as you'd like to think your data is, and, you know, to some extent, yes, you know, if you keep a good record, you get a picture. But then people, like you said, in the last 6 weeks, and I've seen that they really improve in the last month or two leading up to the exams, or some, you know, so to replicate the actual exam, you know, and to base it on, and for us to base it on how consistent, the most consistent way to really, let's stick to, you know, for simplicity, let's stick to maths, as the system is to give the students an exam that's taken across the nation at the same time in the morning, for example, they take the same paper, that is as fair as it can get, right? As far as our human systems are concerned. So how do we replicate that? How do we get one teacher's opinion and another? I mean, it's so tough, isn't it, to really, to compare. Or like if you look at, say, penalty shootouts, okay? So even if the student's proven that he's really worked hard and can answer questions, there's a slightly different pressure to being able to do stuff in class than to do it in an exam. And, you know, England penalty shootout records, great on the training pitch, not so great on the actual, you know. So yeah,
when the pressure's on,
yeah. And but then not just so I also say that, yes, so that's a task. I mean, we don't want the students to stress out too much, because that's really on our shoulders as teachers and as a college, as sort of the, and you know, we work with the exam board, with whatever the government guidelines will be. So that will be for us. We don't want to stress the students out too much on that. Of course they are, you know, they will be concerned. I mean, this is like, they've been working for 2 years leading up to this point to get to their university. All of a sudden now it's, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. It's a scary time. We, you know, and I'm sure no teacher wants to see their students fail, but we have to at the same time be as fair as possible. I think it's our responsibility to support the exam boards, the government, in trying to make this as fair as possible, given the less than ideal circumstance, given the fact that this has never happened before. None of us can say we've got experience in this area and follow something. But I always say, well, coronavirus is less than ideal. You know, this is not, none of this is you know, something that we've chosen. I think students and everyone appreciates that we're all in this together, and this is something that we're all gonna have to work. The good thing is they've got an appeals process and all the rest of it, so, but there's still a lot to work out, and we're still, you know, waiting for more in terms of what we have to do.
So is there like an accountability where, like taking the register every day, where you check to see if everyone's online and that everyone's doing their work, or they're online at a specific time?
So I think that varies as well. We are able to take a register.
Nothing mandated then, where you have to be.
So we give, so as far as sort of the official register is concerned, there's a mark that says sort of authorized, kind of, it's a closure mark basically, that that they're all sort of marked in as authorized absence or something along those lines, that it's it's not, you know, that it's an unusual one. No one's going to really, after that, the attendance register doesn't. But for the online record, you know, each of my online sessions are registered just for my own records. Who's there?
So what is, let's just, you know, look back at these past couple of weeks and months. What has been some of the biggest challenges for the teachers, and what has been some of the biggest challenges for the students?
So I think learning to use, if they're not familiar, you see, the ones that would find it most challenging is the ones that haven't actually already been using it, because what's worked for them, and you know, I know brilliant teachers that don't even want to come near a computer because it's worked for them. And I'm not saying that there's anything, one is better than the other. It's just personal preference, you know. The jury is still out on what's, you know, and you, if I like digital writing, let that work for me. If someone likes to use a blackboard marker and that works for them, and I've seen some people do beautifully, I can't recreate what they do, and they can't do what I do. We've all got our own different styles, you know, and it's what works best for us. So, but yes, the challenge is for those who have never used any online platforms and have only just stuck to emails and
to basic, teach, yeah.
To then somehow now having to do online assessments and you know, that's a challenge. And in the
could
fear
be stressful about, as well, right?
The stress. That's a very important point, because when I worked alongside staff, now I have a lot of patience. Actually, in my experience in this role as an e-learning coach, that I see the stress. I actually see it, and it's not. And that's an important point for someone in my role to appreciate. Just because I like it doesn't mean that someone else's brain,
or just because you can do it, right? Yeah. And you can,
so for example, we talk about video editing, right? Someone would find that a nightmare to learn Final Cut or Adobe Premiere Pro, because there is a learning curve that is quite challenging, especially, you know, so for me, even if I can't do it, I'll watch videos on YouTube to learn how to do it as I go along. So if I want to learn a bit of green screen, a bit of masking, I learn that as I go along for YouTube. And, you know, if and when the need comes up, I learn it. But for some stuff, and this is just how our brains are wired differently, that is a nightmare to learn this stuff.
Or just so unfamiliar. Just so unfamiliar. It's
unfamiliar,
like,
and
it's
the experience. Like,
yeah, it's you know, the idea of you can't teach. Go on.
Yeah, but I think the experience is unpleasant for them. So it's not just, so for example, in the same way that, you know, we don't like a new sport or a new computer game, but it's unfamiliar. We're not as good at it as we are at Street Fighter.
Resistance to change.
I haven't learned Tekken. Yeah. I haven't learned Tekken. But we enjoy the journey because we know the kind of mechanics of fighting games, for example, right? Mm-hmm. But for a teacher, for some staff, for some people, which is all human beings, the very act of using a computer is actually painful. I can see that. It's actually, and it's not their fault. It's not being behind. This is just that we all have different brains. We operate differently.
Well, it's like, remember my dad used to ask me to like write him an email, or to just like, you know, just like, dad, just you log into Hotmail and just put in your password. And is that, but you realize that what seems so evident and elementary, in fact, for other people, can be it's you know, it's so alien, so unfamiliar. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, they're not digital natives, as they're called, you know, as a lot of the younger people. And there is this generational gap that when people who've missed out on it in their early education, in their university education, to be so familiar with using the computer, it is a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And the younger teacher, and this is just a fact of the circumstances. But then we have older colleagues who do, again, it's a matter of enjoying and how your brain, so it's not even an age thing or generational thing, because one of my peers who also works, he's a, you know, older than me, he's got children at university, so he's a bit older than me, and yeah, but he's taught me so much in so inspirational, brilliant teacher, brilliant e-learning leader, and he's, you know, a slightly older generation, so he's able, so it's not an age thing, but I think it is a matter of your interest and how your brain is wired that way. There was a National Geographic studies that says that in maths, and this, I think I mentioned this before, literally causes you pain just the mere idea of doing maths. You don't have to do any sums, don't have to do any calculations, just the mention of mathematics causes pain.
Yeah,
and it only happens with maths. So when a student says to me, "You're giving me pain," so I literally probably am. For some of you, you know, luckily, most of my students actually chose to do A-level maths, so it's not really something that causes them pain. But with people, and I understand that, I can't force that on someone. Mm-hmm. I don't like languages; never have, never been good at it. So that's a bit of a pain for me. I appreciate even though I am bilingual just by virtue of being born into an ethnic minority Vietnamese family and having grown up in the West, in the UK, that you know that's a given, but I didn't have to learn. But if I had to learn a language, that was challenging for me. So I can see it, I can appreciate it. And some people just love it. They're so curious about languages. Some people hate it, you know, so it's just how our brains are.
All right, so what is the latest information that, you know, as a faculty or as a college have received from the government as far as, you know, looking out to the next couple of months, the summer holidays? You know, what can we expect? When are things going to come back to, go back to normal?
So, but just like the rest of society, we're still waiting for the decision from the government, what they can learn from other countries, I guess, as well. You know, we're still behind Italy. Italy's, you know, hopefully we won't be as bad, but we look at the East and how they've managed it. And, you know, maybe as an international community, learn from each other, nations that have successfully handled this pandemic, maybe South Korea, look at how they've done it. But they're, again, culturally, they're all very different. You know, they've lived through SARS and bird flu and whatever else. So wearing a mask is culturally quite normal in Asia, East Asia, whereas in the West it's not as normal. So things like that. But we, like, just like everything else now, it's just all, everything is new territory for the entire world. How does one cope with, you know, social distancing, shopping etiquette, keeping 2 meters away, exercise etiquette. I'm looking out at the canal and I'm seeing people running way too close to each other because it's a nice sunny day. Yeah, so we don't know specifically as far as how education is going to be. I think the big concern it will be the GCSE and A-level and university, you know, the actual formal exams that will take place, because there'll be implications. You see, the GCSE results, if they're not accurate, then that will have implications for the next cohort of A-level students. And things like that. So it's a massive, massive challenge. And if we look at the wider implications, it's obvious, the big obvious one is the number of deaths. You think about 800. I mean, if there was a plane crash, you know, how many people? 200-300 people? So we're talking about several plane crashes a day in just the UK alone, and set to rise. It's like, wow, that's the number of deaths that's happening. And even though there's a certain section of, it doesn't matter whether you're old or young, even though it only affects older people, it's robbing them of, you know, they're dying prematurely, right? Even though they're more susceptible, it doesn't mean they would have died without COVID-19. So, well, God, you know, we don't know how many years they would have lived on. We just know that they were, you know, had pre-existing conditions, probably wouldn't have died, well, definitely wouldn't have died if it wasn't for COVID-19. Maybe they had a few months left, a few years left, who knows? But we know that 800 people died prematurely daily, you know, and will continue to grow. So it's massive. And so that's the first big concern for the world, isn't it? Is that, and then, you know, whatever else, implications for the economy. So, you know, global recession and all the rest of it. And we were talking about people who are friends who are personal trainers, people in the garment industry, people in agriculture. That's just so many things that the whole world is just not prepared for. When comparing it to war, and I spoke to someone who said that's a bit dramatic. Well, I said, well, when in peacetime, you know, when other than in war, can the government have powers to say stay at home, lockdown, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a war, you know, man trying to battle nature, is it, isn't it? Trying to, you know, but.
You know, to kind of end on a positive, you know, if I'm, two scenarios. If I'm a student or I'm a teacher, and, you know, what words of advice would you give, or, you know, words of encouragement? You know, let's begin with the teachers and then for students.
Well, yeah, I think the Queen, because the Queen who said that, you know, we will see each other again and all the rest of it. That is true, you know, for those, and it's still a small percentage who will die, right? It compared to, you know, and it will be sad for many. We are going to lose many, as the Prime Minister says, you know. But
even, like, the Prime Minister himself,
yeah, fell victim to. But that, you know, things will, we I think then we have an appreciation, so we will look forward to meeting up again and all the rest of it. I think maybe sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. And this has taught us that, you know, some of the things we took for granted, maybe it's taught us some philosophical lessons about appreciation, which we know value.
And gratitude.
Gratitude, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Gratitude. That's the right word. Gratitude. Mm. You know, to have some, to force everyone into having that. And then realizing that, that we always talk about, you never know. Well, the world had that phone call, isn't it? When thing, your life will be forever changed, even if it's or be changed significantly, even if it's a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that parachute, we need that parachute, don't we? To, because in terms of the strength, I mean, the positive would be that, yes, things will return to normal and we have the gratitude. But in this time as well, I think the mental strength we need to get through it, because it, for some, it can be challenging. For others, it's an opportunity online. Mm-hmm. And P.E. Joe P. Do you know what's his name? Joe P. guy? Is that his name, Joe?
Yeah. Joe P. He's doing well with the kids and all that. Yeah.
So that's
great.
And then, you know, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., the nation getting together, clapping for the men and women of the, you know, key workers.
Yeah. Hopefully a unifying event, right?
That, of, you know, we are one family. Yeah,
brings us closer.
And it's the world that's going through this. And we realise, actually, that whatever our petty difference, again, actually, I think what it highlights is what matters most, isn't it? Back to that question. What matters? Not the superficial differences between people. I don't care if you're from China and or Italy or whatever. You know, death doesn't discriminate. Pain and things like that does not discriminate. So we are, as a human race, there are worse enemies. It could be invisible enemies, like a virus, than each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing that comes up, that actually whatever our little differences are, it's just in the face of something like this, it's really
negligible.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you anticipate that come the new term in September next year that everything's going to resume back to normal? Do you anticipate that the worst of it, the worst wave will be over by then, and, you know, we'll be back to normal come September?
Yeah. Actually, I was watching Bill Gates do a little interview, and he talked about how things will, it will take years perhaps, but, and looking globally, the economy and the world will bounce back from this. We are going to recover from this. It will be challenging times for everyone. But yeah, I mean, the new term, you know, I think that I'm fortunate enough to actually be in a job that's quite secure, because it's the government who's your employer ultimately. So as long as they don't go bankrupt, you know, they're going to make sure that they pay their staff. They would want the world education to continue. So I'm very fortunate. There is obviously the concern about, you know, friends and family and people that will have to suffer another recession. You know, have to suffer tough economic times to come. So, but as far as in education is concerned, you know, things will continue, and however we need to adapt, we'll find a way. You know, I think that's just how humans are.
But, you know, someone being on the front line of this, not only as a teacher, but as someone that's kind of helping to lead the way in its college for online learning, you know, these are very interesting times. So thanks for joining in.
All right.
And we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you. All right, we'll chat soon.